Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and coming to your on-demand digital and select theaters on December 18th is a new horror suspense thriller from IFC Midnight called Hunter Hunter, and the writer-director Sean Linden is with us today. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Summer. Thanks very much for having me.
I am a fan of suspense and psychological horror. Then, you know, the Ooh. Occasional, you know, bloody gore is much appreciated.
Sure. And I'm the exact same way.
Awesome. And this movie, I don't know how to talk about it without spoiling the good parts.
Yeah, I'm finding that same difficulty when I'm having to explain it, and I usually get as far as the first 20 minutes before I get to something where I would prefer they didn't know going in.
Mm-hmm. Well, the safe overview is we have a family living in the woods, off the grid mostly, and their livelihoods and lives are being threatened by a rogue wolf, and dad goes off to make sure the wolf poses no more threat to the family, and then shenanigans ensue.
Shenanigans, that's a good word for it. It's better. I was saying hilarity ensues, but yours is better.
Shenanigans, because there are strange things afoot way, 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 way out behind the Circle K. And I have to ask, you wrote this. Where did the spark for this story come from?
It came from a forest one morning in Germany. I was laid over from a film festival in 2007. That's when the script was written, with my first movie, Nobody. And I was at the Brussels Fantastic Film Festival and got laid over in Germany and because of a snowstorm and had to go off into the rural part of Germany to like a retreat to stay in for the night before I could get back on my plane. And riding to that retreat, we were passing through this kind of half countryside, half forest that had a big thick mist that was running through it. And that image just kind of, it struck me as a particularly creepy image. And from that, you know, my brain kind of went to work with it and noodled with it for a little bit. And by the time I'd landed in Winnipeg back home from my trip, the spine or the spirit of the story had already been plotted out.
How long did it take to get the story you wanted to film and then to find a place to film it?
It was a 13-year process
from
its conception to its movie. So it had undergone countless heartbreaks, really near misses, almost getting greenlit, you know, once a year for 10 years. And finally was fortunate enough. It's oddly enough, it was, every year it would undergo constant retooling to suit whatever production had auctioned it and was trying to shop it around. So it had evolved for all of those years. And how it came about was, I guess, just blind luck on my end. I just finished rewriting it and it had just come out of auction, so it was free. And out of the blue, I got a phone call from Neil Elman, who's with Mar Vista Entertainment. And I'd known Neil from 10 years prior when I'd done some work for the Sci-Fi Network as a writer. And I caught his attention 10 or 11 years ago with the script for Hunter Hunter. And so we'd lost communication with each other for a decade until he phoned out of the blue and said that he's with a new company with a new mandate or a new slate. And he's never forgotten about Hunter Hunter. And so I happened to have the piping hot, fresh, out of the oven rewrite script. And I sent it along to him, and the rest was history.
Wow. Wow, kudos to perseverance and faith in your story.
Yeah, really, it's at any time if I would have stopped doing it, like if I wouldn't have stopped actively working the grind and pushing it to exist, it wouldn't be here right now. So it's not a quick process.
So how long was it from green light to finding your locations to shooting?
The official green light came probably 4 months before we went to camera. And so we had those 4 months to, you know, it was shot in and around, you know, my province. So I was aware of some of the scenic places or the more treacherous looking places in the province that were good candidates for shooting a movie about, you know, the inhospitable wilderness. And so a lot of that stuff had been, you know, we had our ideas on where we wanted to shoot, and we would take our days, full days off, and just go out into the province, into the wild, and try to find areas that matched what we were looking for. And we were very, very fortunate to wind up with the stuff that we got. Is both beautiful and really harsh.
How long a shoot was it?
20 days.
Not bad, not bad. Where were you, just from a mental standpoint, in realizing that you were finally getting this story that you had put so much love, sweat, and tears into writing, that you were actually getting it on film finally?
When you're doing it, if you're doing it right, that kind of stuff doesn't really occur to you, because it's like I've never surfed before, but I would imagine it'd be like surfing a wave, where it's like you have this timing and now it's all footwork and balance and things like that, and you have no time to be like, hey, I'm surfing right now. It's of being aware of what you're doing. So it that never occurred to me until after the movie was in the can, and there was no, like, I wasn't able to go back and physically tamper with it. I was not allowed to do it anymore. And so it was done and out of my hands. And that's when that kind of, you know, 12-year wait just kind of not really floated away, but it's now hanging above me waiting for December the 18th.
What was the editing process like, and what was the balance between practical effects and digital?
The editing I got to do with two really fantastic editors, John Gertebeck and Chad Tremblay. We managed to get that in just before COVID crept in and made post-production much, much more difficult to do. I'm used to being in a room and dealing with little bits and foibles and issues like in the room on the day, whereas remotely it had to be notes basically. And, you know, when you're color coding remotely and you're both using two different monitors, I mean, what's the point? Yeah. But that the editing process, what I had the privilege of having a lot of talented people helping me out. And the practical effects also is done by Doug Morrow and Aaron Murky, who had Doug has an extensive experience with blood and guts and gore. And without giving away anything of the movie, there are some elements of this that makeup effects or effects creators live for. so you can tell the care that went into a lot of the prosthetics and enthusiasm at trying to make them accurate. They were all in on board for that, of not making anything gratuitous, but making the situation so heinous that if it's handled soberly, then it's horrific.
Yeah, I can, yeah, without spoiling anything, I can think of, I think, two scenes where I can imagine the practical effects people way, way, way behind the camera rubbing their hands together and cackling with glee.
Oh yeah, for sure. Covered in fake blood and just, yeah.
Yeah.
Those days of shooting those are always, they're always fun. No matter what the weather is, no matter what anything is, if you're dealing with blood and guts, it's always something interesting to watch.
Cool. The performances from your family, they were tense and intense where they needed to be. Did you have to work on any of that, or was that just all right there in the script?
Well, it was more how they were able to take what was on the script and make it their own. I was really, really privileged to have, especially that core group of four actors, Nick Stahl, Summer Howell, Camille Sullivan, and Devon Sawa, who were just absolute pros who, you know, made a collective decision to go in on this, to go all in and deal with the harshness of the weather and the circumstances. And so that kind of dedication really lent itself to really wanting to get into the psychology of these people. And one of my strengths as a director is being, especially being a writer and director, is that I make an excellent reference material for the script. Like, I have an answer for anything. I was around when the idea was conceived. I'm familiar with a lot of the stuff that goes on, so my end of the conversation can be as fertile as they want. And what they wanted was to really get into it. Devon was really careful about being authentic and of looking like somebody who does this for a living. And Camille herself, just her natural personality exudes a sense of resiliency that's it's rare to see in most people, or rare to see in people. So it was something that I tried to exploit as much as I could, because she could play with that. She could turn it on and down and off, and, you know, when she needed to be that person, again, without giving away into the movie, but when she had to be resilient, Camille as an actor was always up for the task and always knew where she was in that character's development.
So what are you working on next, and where would be the best place for people to keep track on your next project?
I guess it'll depend what I do next. It will depend on the COVID situation, how this unrolls. Shooting during this is, you know, exponentially more difficult and costly. So hopefully the next script that I want to do is hopefully I'll be doing that in the summer of next year on a deserted island. No snow or wet days there, hopefully. But yeah, that's what I hope to do, COVID notwithstanding. As far as how to stay up to date on what I'm doing, I'm not even really up to date on it. I'm not sure. Maybe the best thing to do is to, you know, Instagram, I guess. That is the only social media that I have public at times. I'm as interested as anybody else seeing what I do now.
Cool. Well, I will recommend people go check out Hunter Hunter. December 18th is when it's available. And thank you, Sean, for sharing your insights and experiences making this delightfully tense movie.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Summer. It's great to talk to you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me now is Camille Sullivan, who plays Anne in the thriller horror suspense Hunter Hunter, out from IFC Midnight on December 18th in Digital On Demand. And yes, I am recommending again that you guys see it. Hi, Camille.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem. I love it when a horror movie leads me down a primrose path of red herrings and then turns the tables on me because it's so much fun. You think you see what's coming next and they go, nope, gotcha.
That's great.
So tell me, how did you come to Hunter Hunter?
I just all happened quite quick. I was out and I got a call from my agent if I could read a script like kind of immediately. And so I went to my friend's house and I read the script and I got about 10 pages in or 15 pages in. I was like, all this woman does is run around carrying buckets of water. So I called my agent. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I want to do that. So, and I finished reading it and I was like, wow, what an amazing character and what an amazing journey Anne goes on. And I just felt blessed. And then a couple of days later, I was on a plane to Winnipeg.
So other than carrying lots and lots of water, what was it about Anne's character that intrigued you, that made you want to do this?
Well, she's such a full character, and she goes on an incredible journey where she starts out as obviously very physically capable because she lives in the remote wilderness with her family. So she's able to survive that way. But emotionally and as a person, she's quite meek and quite afraid of a lot of things and looking and turning to her husband for help and stability a lot. And through the movie, when that becomes impossible, when he goes out searching for the wolf and she has to rely more on herself, we see this great transformation in her where she finds the strength she needs to accomplish what needs to be done. So, and that changes her and in a way makes her become brutal. And I think that's sort of what I found so interesting about it.
The family dynamics in the film to me were stark but caring is the best way I can describe it without spoiling anything that happens. How did you approach those relationships and the changes that happens when the wolf intercedes?
I think the family dynamic is so important. And I think stark but caring is a very good way to put it, because we've created quite deliberately this life that we think is best for our child. Like, we've looked at the world and gone, no, that's not for us. And so I think that's so interesting. But increasingly, the world encroaches. Like, you can't isolate yourself from the world. And so exactly when the wolf encroaches, it's like now we're in this new position. Well, we're completely isolated from everything else. And now how do we deal with this?
When you were out in the wilderness during production, were there any, I guess, surprises or challenges that you found exciting? Like anything that was surprisingly fun?
All of it was surprisingly fun. I was so pleased with myself that I was able to do like a lot of physical things I didn't know if I would be able, like dragging a 6-pound man through the woods. Like, that's something I know I can do now. So I'm so excited about that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. What do you expect from, I guess, any expectations of future roles that you will remember from this one and go, yeah, I can do that too?
This was a big role and it really pushed me to a lot of places emotionally, physically, even just like in terms of playing things small and quiet and intense. Like, I really learned a lot on this. And I think just going out into work afterwards, I feel a lot more capable of just a lot more things, if that makes sense. It gave me quite a bit of confidence to have pulled this one off, actually.
Cool. We also talked to Sean earlier. Were there any things that you guys talked about during production, any adjustments that you thought might get viewers into Anne's head better?
Yeah, we talked about a lot of things. Sean was really receptive to my ideas and to talking things through and to making adjustments if I felt strongly about something. So he was really great and really involved me as a creative partner when we were shooting, and I really liked that. And he had such a strong vision from the beginning of this journey from Anne going from this meek woman to really this strong kind of, you know, making a complete switch of character and seeing that growth. So we talk a lot about how that progression would go and about how she just finds the strength. And that's, it's like, in a way, almost for me, it's like every time Anne finds the strength to do something hard, she gives up a little of her softness.
Now, was there anything in Hunter Hunter that made you realize that you might like to do a future horror or thriller movie?
Yes, everything about it. I might like to do lots. I think it's really fun.
Were you a horror fan before?
I am. I like watching horror. I haven't done a lot in my career, but I like watching it. I'm a fan of it. And like, there's so many fun places to go as an actor and so many fun things to do. I'd love to do lots more. And I love the physical element. So if I could do more stuff with a lot of physicality, that would really suit me too.
Nice. What types of horror are you a fan of watching?
You know, I like a lot of the good and evil stuff. I'm not a religious person now, but I was raised Catholic, so that left me with a lot of fear of Satan and good and evil. So anything that involves that, I find pretty terrifying.
So psychological horror, battling good and evil, while also being able to be a badass. Gotcha.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want.
Well, we just have to have your agent look for more stuff like that, because I enjoy psychological horror. I am a huge, huge fan of monster movies. And I am a big fan of movies with protagonists, male or female, that take on challenges beyond that which most people ever have to deal with in their lives and just decide, no, you're not taking my life today. Just go away. We're dealing with this right here, right now.
Exactly. That's sort of the funnest part about it. It's like that moment where you have a choice. I could do this or I could do this, and I'm going to do this.
If what you think of as the perfect horror role for you doesn't come across your table, your desk anytime soon, is that something you'd consider maybe writing for yourself?
Yeah, it is. I do a little bit of writing. I've always written, not professionally or anything like that, but I've always written, and I've been taking it a little more seriously lately. So it's definitely something I would consider, because I do enjoy it. And I think there's so many huge universal primal themes that you can explore through horror that are, you know, and still have it be a good time.
Well, without giving away any of your ideas, what sort of horror movie would you want to see yourself in?
I do like the kind of ones, psychological horror, where it's like paranoia and not knowing really, is that real? Is that really happening? Or is that in someone's perception and never being quite sure what reality is reality?
Awesome.
Or like intense paranoia. Like, I don't know if you remember The Tenant. What's his name? Roman Polanski's The Tenant. It's so scary. He just moves into this building and he's so paranoid and everything goes so wrong. Terrifying.
So are you a big fan of the older horrors, like from the 70s, the ones where everybody's screaming?
Yeah, I do. You know, I grew up watching those. I still like those.
So did you watch anything really, really juicy, something that you really, really loved, or read something you really loved this year?
Good question. I watched, you know what, I watched a series that really kind of tickled me in my right spot, and I'm not sure, it's not new or anything, but it's called Trust on FX.
Oh, yeah.
About the Getty family and the kidnapping of Grantchoff, and it was really a good series. I really enjoyed it.
So if you're not spending time writing the movie you want to be in, are you on social media anywhere where our listeners can keep up with what you're doing next?
Yes, I'm on Twitter at Camille Sully. And I am on Instagram, but it's Sullivan.Camille.
Cool. So people can chat you up on Twitter and find out what horror movie you got your eye on next?
Yes, please do.
So the movie is Hunter Hunter, and that's coming out December 18th. Do you have anything else coming up? coming out soon?
I've been working on Big Sky on ABC, which is on right now. I think it's about 4 episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
Just a recurring character on that. And then a web series coming up, but I don't know where and when. And it's called Trigger Me.
Are you having fun on Big Sky? Because I haven't gotten into it, but I've been watching friends of mine on Twitter losing their minds on something.
Yeah, it's a good series. It's a good series. My role is small but nice, and it's like the series is so good and the actors are so good in it. It's just a pleasure to work on.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we will have links to your Twitter account where people can keep up and have people head over to check out Big Sky after they see Hunter Hunter, of course.
Of course.
Camille, thank you. Thank you so, so much for your time and your enthusiasm towards all
of
our movies.
Thank you.
The movie is Hunter Hunter, coming out December 18th from IFC Midnight Films. Will be available on demand and on digital on your favorite platforms. And I believe you can catch Big Sky on ABC's website if you have the need to catch up. Again, Camille, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest now is one of the stars of IFC Midnight's upcoming horror suspense film, Hunter Hunter. I'm here with Summer Howell, who plays the daughter Renee in this, it's a delightful horror suspense film, but it's impossible to talk about without spoiling it, so we will give it a shot. Hi, Summer. Oh, pretty good. Now, how did you come across this story, this script?
Well, a local casting director reached out to me and asked me to come audition, and so naturally I went, and I ended up getting a call back, and then I met Sean, and everything just fell into place.
What was it about the role of Renee that intrigued you, that interested you to want to really dive into this role? Because you do some diving in on this feature.
Yeah, I think Renee and how she develops throughout the film resonated with me, and how she had to rely on what she had been taught to survive. I really liked that part. And originally Renee was written as a boy, and so it was really fun. It was a challenge to me to make Renee a girl and make it different.
What sort of changes did you request or were aware of in converting the daughter of these two survivalists to be a daughter?
I don't know if there was much difference between a boy and a girl, but it just kind of, I had a different bond as a boy would with her mom or dad, I feel like Renee learns to love her mother in a different way a boy would have admired her eventually throughout the film.
And for you, what was it like being in an isolated wilderness location for such a long time, just becoming part of the land to fulfill this this adventure, I'm going to say?
It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I'm actually from Manitoba myself, so I kind of knew what I was walking into, like with the scenery and the climate. But having a small cast and having a small little family living out there was different from working with a larger crew and cast. And so I really enjoyed the difference, actually. It made for a better bonding experience between all the actors and the people working on set. And yeah, it was a great experience. I really enjoyed being in this isolated little cabin in the woods with all these people I love to work with.
What for you, without going into any spoilers about the story, was the most exciting or the most challenging thing to get done?
One of the most fun and exciting things that was written in for me was a scene where I had to pull a beaver out of a river. And it was actually one of my first days filming. I think it was the first, where I just got into this, like, suit so I wouldn't be all cold. And then they put me in this freezing cold river, and I pulled this really heavy beaver in and out of the water, like, 20 times. And it was heavy, but it was really interesting. It's nothing like I've ever done before, so I found that really fun.
Cool. What about the survivalist training, the lifestyle that the family, Renee's family, is preferring to choose, did you find interesting?
I thought it was really interesting how they had absolutely, like, no technology besides a walkie-talkie or something. And it was kind of challenging putting myself in a person who lives that way, their shoes. And I don't know, eventually it got easier, and I, like, learned how to use all the traps and different things I'd never seen or worked with before. And it ended up being pretty good in the end. So I think it all worked out.
Did you try to go with less technology in your life while you were doing the filming?
I definitely was forced to have some more technology downtime while I was filming. And yeah, it was hard. Like, I didn't really keep up with friends as much as I usually did, and it was long hours. So I was mainly working, and I was having fun, so I don't think I really noticed, which I think is a good lesson for people watching. And just enjoy nature, enjoy your time away from modern technology once in a while.
Did you have any suggestions or input on, like, did you go to Sean and say, you know, just suggest, well, how about this, how about that? Any insight as a teen, playing a teen?
Oh, yeah. There was a few times on set where my director, Sean, and I would, like, talk about what really made sense for Renee. I don't know if I have an example, but it would just be a certain tone I would use or a certain way I would act, and he would understand that it made more sense if I did it my way instead of what he already envisioned. And we both really enjoyed working with each other, and we worked well together, and those decisions came easy.
Awesome. Are you a fan of horror and science fiction, and is this kind of film something you would look forward to doing another type of horror?
Yeah, personally, I love filming horror movies and thriller movies. There's something really exciting about it to me, of seeing it come from script and then being put onto a screen. Personally, I don't know if I really enjoy watching them that much, in them, but yeah, if I'm in them and I'm working on them, I love doing it. It's all I want to do in my future, pretty much. But yeah, I love little indie films and suspenseful films.
So what you're saying is you want to be the badass woman in the action thriller going forward.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
What types of training did you have to do to prepare, or did you?
I didn't do a lot of training. There was a few running scenes, and I have asthma, so I brought my inhaler, if that counts. But besides that, there wasn't too much training. It was just mainly learning how to use the props, like guns and traps, without looking like I didn't know what I was doing. And they talked me through that. There's people on set who show me how to do it right and how to make it look as authentic as I could.
Nice. So, like I said, there's not a lot I can say about this movie without spoiling it, but it was, for me, a lot of fun to watch. So thank you for that.
Of course. Thank you for watching it.
Now, are you preparing to work on anything else, or are you just sort of doing other things while the pandemic hopefully ramps down?
Right, yeah. I have some auditions that I'm working on, and I'm just supporting my that have been coming out, like Hunter Hunter and Klaus just released on Disney Plus recently, so I've just really been supporting them.
Nice, awesome. Do you see yourself, I don't know, say in 10 years or so, maybe directing an action thriller?
It's hard to say, but I really love writing, and I feel like by then I will have worked on a script, and maybe something will be in the works. Who knows?
Who knows?
I will for sure still be, I can promise you that.
Awesome, awesome. Do you prefer writing like prose or screenplays?
I just write whatever comes to me, and then I like putting it, well, I haven't really written a script yet, but I've thought about it, and I think I definitely will soon, so, yeah.
Are thrillers something you find yourself enjoying writing?
I really like sci-fi and the genre of sci-fi, and I feel like my experience on horror films and thrillers, like, my first role was Curse of Chucky as Alice Pierce, and so I can draw inspiration from my experiences, so definitely, I think I could write a thriller or a horror.
Well, as a sci-fi fan and an indie sci-fi fan, I will not discourage you from writing your own indie sci-fi film. In fact, I will be first in line to see it when you get it made, because, like I said, I love indie sci-fi, and hearing that you like writing it just warms my heart.
Thank you. That means a lot.
So, what else can you tell my listeners about what you're going to be working on next? Or is it just auditions for now?
Right now it is just auditions because of Corona and everything happening. Things are getting pushed a little bit, but there is some future things in the works, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to work on more indie films in the future and maybe even bigger things.
Awesome. Awesome. So where can folks find you online to keep track on what you are working on and your promotion of Hunter Hunter?
I mainly use Instagram. It's Summer H. Howell, and my Twitter is SumHHowell. I don't use it as much as Instagram, but if you want to follow Twitter, it's there too. But yeah, Instagram is the main one.
We will have links to that and to where people can find Hunter Hunter when it comes out from IFC Midnight on December 18th. And I do recommend it if you are a fan of horror suspense movies that have unreal story twists in them, which I cannot spoil right now. Go check out Hunter Hunter on the 18th, and you will not be disappointed. Summer, thank you so much for sharing your time and your insights today.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hunter Hunter will be available, or actually already is available, yesterday, December 18th, on your various favorite platforms. And if you enjoy a very tense, suspenseful movie with female protagonists who don't let their fear overrule everything, especially their survival instinct, you need to see this. It's, I don't know how to say this without spoiling it, but between Hunter Hunter and Promising Young Woman, there are shocking, stunning, yet ultimately satisfying moments of retribution. That's the only way I can say that. And if you're looking for a not horror movie, but a compelling drama that examines trauma and an unusual yet effective way to cope with said trauma, Promising Young Woman is something you should check out. I believe it comes out on next Friday, Christmas Day. And if I get my act together, there will be a review of that up on Christmas Eve. If you follow Slice of Sci-Fi on Twitter, or Write After Dark, Writers After Dark, or Babylon Podcast, you should be able to find the thread of holiday season, end of year prizes, contests, giveaways that I am holding. There is a whole slew of prizes. There is a copy of the graphic novel Port of Earth, Volume 1, which provided by the Comics Warehouse. Thank you for them. There was an order snafu, and I have an extra copy of Port of Earth to give to you. And you can find the interview I did with Zach Kaplan, the writer of Port of Earth. And if you want to find that episode, it's episode 843 from May 2018. You can just search the website for Port of Earth. You should find it pretty quickly. He also wrote a series called Eclipse, which is also hella awesome, but Port of Earth is just one of the prizes that's available in this giveaway. We have The Flash Season 3, The Flash Season 6, Batwoman Season 1, all on Blu-ray, Gotham Season 3. There's also Doom Patrol Season 1. For you animated DC fans, there's a copy of Batman Hush on 4K. If you checked out that Empire Strikes Back episode a few weeks ago, that book, the Empire Strikes Back, part of the BFI Film Classics, have a copy of that to give away. And ATB Publishing, the group who did the X-Files collection and upcoming Babylon 5 collection that I am contributing essays to, did a collection a couple of years ago with Angel and Firefly. And I have a copy of that to give away. I'm missing something. I know I am. Oh, for those of you who were fans of the Sci-Fi Channel series Deadly Class, the TV series adaptation of the comic book series, I have a press kit to give away. It's a copy of Marcus's backpack containing a yearbook and a Sci-Fi Channel covered graphic novel, Volume 1. And all of those are up for grabs, every last one of them. All you need to do is go to Twitter, find that thread, should not be hard to find, and answer the question for the items you're interested in by 12 noon, Monday, December 28th, 12 noon Pacific. Answer a question, you might be a winner. And, well, there really is nothing else to say except good luck and have fun. And if you have any questions or comments about the contest, the giveaways, or about Hunter Hunter, or about Promising Young Woman, give me a call. The number is 602-635-6976, or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please leave us a review. You can follow us on Twitter, as I said, @SliceofSciFi, and on YouTube, youtube.com/SliceofSciFi, and of course, the hub of all this geeky madness, the website, SliceofSciFi.com. Come on by, listen to other interviews, read other reviews of various movies and TV shows, get that geek conversation started. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping to support Slice of Sci-Fi and all of the shows and websites in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe, which includes Writers After Dark and Babylon Podcast. your donations, your pledges, your signal boosting all help keep these online. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for helping all of us get through a weird 2020. Not done yet. We have more episodes coming. But everything that you guys do to support the show here, greatly appreciated. If you want to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi. Or if occasional donation every now and then is more your speed, the link to use is paypal.me/sci-fi-summer. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We will be back with a little bit more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. And there are a few posts slated, best of 2020s, best of horror, best of sci-fi. I haven't decided how I'm going to split them up yet, but I'm probably going to do top 5 or top 10 of stuff that I have watched and enjoyed, because that's the best I can do right now. But we'll talk about that next week. Take care.